everyone. This is Horton WU2TGT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Line. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call KTBAR. Alrighty, that's good news. Good evening, everyone, again. This is Horton WU2TGT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. That meets weekly on a frequency of 146.835, the two-meter repeater of the Venture Crew 7373 Amateur Radio Club, located in Pearl River, New York, serving northern New Jersey, southern New York, and New York City, Long Island, and, of course, southwestern Connecticut. In any case, we meet weekly for the purpose of having a conversation about amateur radio, electronics, computing, telecommunications, natural sciences that underlie our hobby, and of course our experiences, things we've done, things we aspire to do, and the ever memorable things we never want to do again. And of course we also can use this as an opportunity to have a for sale swap or wanted item posted, and feel free to do any of those things. Isn't that, depends on you for participation. So if you check in, even if you don't have something to contribute, we can sort of tailor the net to your needs, or maybe we might even ask you a question. And that kind of keeps the conversation going. Because as I said at the top, this is a conversation. So, I hope you will participate. So that is supported by a Yahoo group called ComTech Group, Charlie Oscar Mike, Tango Echo, Charlie Hotel, Golf Romeo Oscar Uniform Papa, ComTech Group. And again, we hope that check to that group. It's a way for us to exchange resources after the net, between nets, etc. And it's a nice community. It's a closed Yahoo group, so you don't have to worry about spam and other unpleasantries appearing in your email box. The other thing I can point out is that we'll have plenty of opportunity to find other resources, support files, URLs, things like that, and so we hope you will join the ComTech group. If you can't locate it, please shoot me a note at AWRL.net, Whiskey 2 Triple Tango at AWRL.net. Alrighty, let's see now. We check into this net using our call sign, our names, and we indicate whether we have a question, a comment, for sale, swap, or want item, or none of the above. As I said, none of the above. Some combination of those things are none of the above. So feel free to check in to help keep the conversation going. So without further ado, stations as call signs begin with the letter Whiskey. Please call K2BAR.
K2BAR. This is WB2UMP, a Jim in Pearl River, with a comment/question.
Okay, so Jim, I got you. The comment/question, I'm not sure how to post that, but put a C and a question mark, and we'll just kind of roll with wherever that implies. Two leg stations to check in one at a time. So let's see how well we can do that. Meantime, who was the other station who doubled with Jim? Please call K2BAR.
Whiskey Alpha 2, India Sierra Echo, Bob, and no comment.
Good evening, Bob. Welcome aboard. Any other whiskeys?
W2JEK, Don, with a comment.
Good evening, Don. Nice hearing you again. Alrighty. Any other whiskeys? Alright, let's move on to the kilos.
This is KD2BKD Bob with a comment/question.
Okay. Very good. Welcome, Bob. Comment, question. All right. I know what that means as well, I guess. Any other kilos?
It's Tony, K2AMI. Just listening. No question.
Good evening, Tony. Who was the other station? Was there another kilo? Alrighty, how about alphas? Alrighty, and how about Novembers?
N2GI. November Yankee Whiskey. Name here is Ed, Echo Delta. She says they open. No comment. Just listening.
Okay, so I got two stations. N2DI, Tom, what are your intentions?
No, I'm flattering. Bad joke. Always good. I have a question actually posted a little while ago about why my Yaesu 991, not the 991A, was having some shut-off issues, so perhaps we can toss that around. N2DI, back to next.
Okay, very good. We'll get to that in due time. And N2, was it WNY? Ed, was that you?
Roger. November 2, November Yankee Whiskey. And name here is Ed, Echo Delta. She said Brooklyn, New York. Yeah, no question. Just support the net, I guess.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Roger, okay, you're a little noisy, but keep your transmission short when you need to. I think we'll be fine. All right, very good, Ed. N2NYW. Nice to have you aboard. All right, any other Novembers? Okay, any station, any call sign? Alrighty, with no further ado, W2JEK Don, it's your ball, K2BAR.
Alright, K2BAR in the net, W2JEK. Can you hear everybody? Barra's next VE test session will be held on Saturday, May 27th at 8 o'clock. That'll be at the site of the Barra Ham Fest, which also is there at that site. This will be at the Westwood Regional High School, 701 Ridgewood Road in the Township of Washington. Again, I say it's 8 o'clock on May 27th. Coming, the test fee is $15. You'll need an ID like a driver's license or passport or something with a photo on it, or two forms of non-photo ID. If you have a license, please bring your license and a copy of that license. If you do not have a license, you'll need your Social Security number. Have commercial, or you have a commercial license, some other type of service, we need a copy of that license as well, because we need the FRN number that's on that license. And if you want to use a calculator, that's fine. Memory must be empty, nothing in the memory, and it must be a calculator. Cell phones, iPods, etc. cannot be used as calculators. Put that back to net, W2JEK.
Alrighty, thank you, Don. Anybody have any questions for Don? All right, Don, anything you want to add?
Nothing at this time, thanks. Back to net, W2JEK. Thank you.
And just to make everybody aware, that's the weekend. It's the Saturday of Memorial Day weekend, I think, and it'll be very exciting, and it will be at the high school and not at the senior center, which is the latest, routine venue for the exams. Alrighty, well, thank you very much. Alrighty, WHUMP, comment, question, some hybridized thing you have, go right ahead, K2BAR.
K2BAR, WA2UMP. Yeah, good evening, Gordon. The comment question is about, I mentioned and even sent you a picture of the new M-squared antenna that I recently received for my birthday. It's a great antenna. It's 11 elements, very well constructed. It's for 440, and I'm going to be setting this up in Sussex County. I need a good antenna while I'm up there to be able to work the DMR repeaters, which are fairly far away, way down on Route 80, so I need something good. And this looks like it'll fit the bill, and it's built like very, very nicely, very rugged. It'll take up to a kilowatt. Whenever I get a new purchase, there's things I like about it, and there's things that I'm not so sure about and wonder if I should have gotten something else. All in all, I like the antenna. It's a little bit on the heavy side, built like a battleship. I originally intended to use it as an end mount, but was surprised and pleased that it was relatively easy to mount, also as a center mount. Let me let it drop a second. And I prefer the center mount. It's just balanced and looks very easy to rotate and less stress and strain on the little DV rotor that I'm going to use. Anyway, it is mountable by the center, but you use this rather a boom-to-mast plate, which is sizable in its own right. It's 4 inches by 6 inches, and that doesn't sound large, but it is 440, and the elements are small, so that's kind of sizable. So I was had some misgivings about putting a big chunk of metal in the middle of the antenna, so I did some experiments. I set it up, and I did transmissions on DMR to K2 Mac on the Empire State Building, and of course you can look on NetWatch on the web and see exactly what your signal strength is coming into that repeater. And lo and behold, I found when you put that metal plate in the center, you lose 1 dB. It went from minus 74 dBm to minus 75. So let it drop a second. Of course, being a bit of a perfectionist in some ways, I didn't want to lose that 1 decibel. So I did a little bit of reading and found that I could purchase a sheet of polymer, which is this heavy-duty plastic that's UV-resistant. And I plan to make a boom-to-mast plate out of that, and I can drill the holes to match it up. Question I have is, do you think I'm being too obsessive when I don't want to lose a dB? And two, has anybody had experience with crafting their own boom-to-mast plates? Back to net control.
Okay, well, my honest observation is that, you know, if you can live with it, so be it. But it's probably not the plate that's the big problem. I mean, it's part of it, but the presence of a large piece of masting, you know, in the plane of the elements is probably even more of a pattern mess, disruptor. So, you know, it's probably just made the pattern really look ugly, maybe cost you some gain. I would be willing to bet that it's as much the mast as the plate.
Well, now remember, this is a test setup, and I have it set up in my living room between two chairs, so there's no mast. And I did purchase from DX Engineering a fiberglass mast. Came in an 8-foot section, and I'll be using that. So I don't think the fiberglass would have much of an effect on the radiated pattern since it's non-conductive. Did you think I was using a metallic pole? Go ahead.
Oh, yes. And if you were, you'd see further destruction. So, yes, so you're doing all the right things. So, yeah, get rid of the metal gusset plate, give it a plastic gusset plate, and the world will be a better place, sure.
Okay, all right, very good. Great minds think alike. And I'll proceed with that. For $10, you get a big 16-inch piece of polymer plastic from DX. from DX Engineering, and I may craft some other projects out of that in the near future. Back to net control.
NJ2BS, repeat.
You know, what some of us have done is taken a cutting board, this A31 available at any number of stores, and just cut that up and done that. But the polymer piece is just outstanding. That'll work just fine. So kudos to you, and also kudos for having the foresight to acquire a non-conductive mask. I actually tended to stack my vertical Yagis when I had vertical Yagis. So they were always on a horizontal boom, so that was never a big deal. And I've even end-mounted antennas on the links. So good for you for getting that squared away. Getting that gusset plate to be non-metallic. One of the things that I acquired recently were two, I don't know, 6 or 8 foot pieces of fiberglass masting. It was wonderful. I haven't put them up yet, but I couldn't believe how nice they were, and I suspect they were also from DX Engineering, based on some other things I got from the individual who provided me that. So, anybody else have any thoughts about interesting ways to mount VHF and UHF antennas and, interactions with the hardware, with the antenna pattern? Okay. Anything else, Jim?
No, that's about it. Looking forward to setting it up. I won't be setting it up to this summer, but things are always a little hectic. I've got to cut the board and drill the holes, and I'll see how it works. I like the cutting board. Sounds like a good idea. I have a few spare cutting boards, but I'll go with the polymer for now. So that's it. Life is good. Back to net control.
Yeah, I'm in the process of getting ready to redo some, some antennas here. I don't know what I'm going to do. I got to work on feed systems. That's going to be the big question first. And I have some really interesting coax I acquired. 4 dB per 100 feet at 2.4 gigs. And it comes with end connectors already on it. The lengths are varying, but they're between like 45 and 35 feet. So I have to, I have some other projects to do first, but I'm really excited about this stuff. So we'll see how that goes. Alrighty. Your next question comes, or comment question is from Bob, KD2BKD. Good seeing you the other night. And DMR radio is kind of interesting. And speaking of that, I'm going to cycle back to Jim after you with some announcements. DMR things before you go on to Tom. But in the meantime, Bob, over to you, K2BAR.
Yeah, this is KD2BAR, Bob here, and my question is about the All-Star Link. Does anybody have any experience with the All-Star Link? And more specifically, I was thinking of putting some 440 repeater up and connecting that to EchoLink through All-Star to see if I can get onto some EchoLink net at certain times and allow other people to do this. Can this be done simplex, or does it need to be done duplex? I was thinking about getting possibly two little HT radios to run the whole little thing here, and just wondering if anybody has done that. This is KD2BKD, back to net.
Okay, so you asked a couple of different questions. You were talking about getting a couple of small radios. I'm thinking the outfunks or something, but to make a repeater, and you certainly could do that. But its sensitivity and descents will be problematic, but if you have a duplexer and decent radios, making a duplex repeater would be a good thing. Start with making a good repeater. Then if you want to put, All-Star on it, you know, have a good platform to put that on, and I think you'll be rewarded. I've used All-Star. Mark N2MH is a bit of an All-Star maven. His repeater on, was it 443-600, I think it is, over in West Orange, is on All-Star. KB2EAR, Scott has a couple of repeaters that their linking technology are all-star based. And yes, you can put Echo Link on there and miscellaneous other things and do a very nice networking job. What North Jersey needs is a linked repeater into the Sunday Night TechNet that Limark runs on their two repeaters. It would be, I mean, other people link other repeaters in other cities, but I gotta tell you, here in North Jersey, we can use a repeater that's tied in to their net. That would be outstanding on Sunday nights, among other things. So, anybody else have any experience with All-Star or other kinds of linking? KTB Air. Well, just for reference, we used to use an Echo Link node, 146.955, but it was taken down and ultimately replaced by a Fusion repeater. And for a while, Jim was able to run his open spot on that, but then the guys preferred it to be on the 440 machine because they didn't like the digital on the analog, on what's essentially an analog user community, even though the 955 repeater does do digital, and linking it made it too digital, meaning the digital activity started to overwhelm the analog activity, and so it annoyed the people, so they moved it. But having said that, I've been trying to get the time to put up an Echo Link node here so that I can have it on 835. All-Star would be one solution. There are some others, but I do have a node that's set up with All-Star. I just haven't built the PTT circuitry and the whole computer to radio interface. So there's your short answer, Bob. KD2BKD, W2DDDK2BAR.
Okay, thank you very much, Gordon. That is good information. I have to be running now. I was called to do something in the house. So this is KD2BKD. Back to net.
NJ2BS. Repeat.
Okay, just for reference, if you are going to run an All-Star node, run either a BeagleBone Black or a Raspberry Pi 3 as your basic controller, okay?
Yeah, I was looking into the Raspberry Pi 3. I just got Linux on my PC here, and I'm learning Linux. I was an old Unix user about, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago. I programmed a Unix test system. Everything went to Windows. I forgot a lot of stuff, and I have to relearn the stuff, so that's where I'm at right now, just learning the Linux, and the Raspberry Pi 3 is what I was going to use. Thank you very much, 82. BKD. Back to net.
And I would encourage you to reach out to N2MH because what you can also do some other things. Like with an All-Star switch, you can take voice over IP and use it. Also, they have a website that you can use to access any number of nodes, including your own. And you use touchtones to activate and control the PTT. Pretty cool.
Okay, KD2BKD. Thank you very much, Gordon. Thank you for that information. I'll reach out to N2MH and see what information I can get from him. Thank you very much, KD2BKD. Back to net.
Yeah, feel free to drop my name to Mark. He's a good guy. Righty, we'll get you on the mesh network and we'll put it on the mesh to make it even more exciting. Alrighty, so just a couple of quick announcements. The Farallon business meeting is tomorrow night at 7:30. The doors open at 6. Normal shop and BS talk. There'll be coffee and things like that, like there always is. And business meeting should be over around 8:30 or so. And my guess is people hang around to about 9:30, so plenty of time to socialize, get some stuff done, whatever you want to do. And so look forward to seeing you tomorrow night. Further, on Sunday is the Barra meeting for the month of May, and it is show and tell night. So bring your computers and toys and radios and gadgets, gizmos, maybe a Morse code key if you got something that's particularly wonderful. So anything you've built or want to show off, you're welcome to bring on Sunday. Doors open at 7, Washington Township, in the senior room in the township hall on Hudson Avenue or Hudson Street or Hudson Avenue, I think it's called, just off of Pascack Road. And the meeting starts at 7:30. Should be pretty exciting. And let's see what else. Oh, yes, Portable Day is a week from Saturday. That's a joint Barra-Farallon operation. It will be over at Memorial Park in the pavilion and beyond. If the weather's cruddy, you can still know that you'll be dry and have plenty of tables to use. And we're talking about bringing some stuff to share. So if you bring food, try to bring something to share with a group. Now, Larry, Captain Larry, is going to bring some of his chili. And there's a rumor that someone will bring some bottled water. And I heard something about grilling some hot dogs. So I think that's got some promise. So one other thing is that Barra will have its Ham Fest last Saturday of the month of May at Township of Washington's Westwood High School, Ridgewood Road, Washington Township. So, as Don mentioned, there'll be a test session there that morning and the Ham Fest and all that good stuff. And there'll be breakfast and lunch, yummy stuff there as well. And what else? But that's a good start on the activities. So, M2DI, K2BAR.
Hello, Gordon, K2BAR. This is N2DI. I have a stock Yazoo 991, and it's operated quite efficiently and without problems since I've purchased it, which would now be about 14 months. Nothing in my shack has changed at all. And the other day, while beginning to do net control for the Farallon Club on Monday, after having listened or monitored on the unit the entire day, probably zero transmissions, within moments of keying the mic, the radio would just shut off. So I put a call into Yazoo and they said, you know, could be power draw and all that kind of good stuff, and you hit a minimum and radio didn't like it and shut down, so broadcast at 5 watts, and if it shuts down, we know that's it. I wouldn't let it drop. Now the reason why I'm being so verbose is not only that I usually am, but in addition, I'm doing it to see if I can heat this unit up and have it shut itself off. So I am blowing out 50 watts now. And I am still talking. Well, I'm still talking because the radio's on, but I'd still be talking nonetheless. And I don't know what it possibly could be. There is a firmware upgrade that is that has been due since January, but I just don't see why that would be a problem if nothing else in the shack has changed. Back to net. K2BAR, this is N2DI.
Okay, I got a couple of theories. So the radio was on all day, and you went to transmit, and then the second you went to transmit, it shut down?
Yes, actually, I talked with W2JC about it, so let me fill in a little bit more. So, thought it was the mic, I took the mic out, did a T-dot call, you know, the reverse call entry to hit the repeater, and that shut it off as well. Changed back to another antenna, thought it was that. Took out the duplex that I have, which of course takes two feeds and makes it into one, so it's just one hook up to a multi-band capable antenna, and it continued to happen. Now, with the little reading that I did today, someone mentioned, oh yeah, you get too much RF in the shack. Well, that doesn't make any sense since I haven't done anything differently. So let's drop again. Gee, what timing I have. So, I'm going to theorize that I'm nothing. What I did is, the reading said, add ferret beads to the antenna cable as close as you can to the radio itself. So I went from a one bead up to five beads, and since that experiment I've been having conversations almost as long as this one and nothing has changed. So I hope that fills in a little bit more for you, Gordon. K2BAR, this is N2DI.
K2BAR. I'm wondering, in that process, at any time, did you touch, manhandle, or otherwise, you know, manipulate the power cable that plugs into the back of the radio, or maybe if you have a power pole or something at the other end of the power cable? I'm wondering if that was in play at all. You know, what I've seen is radio shut down because when you go into transmit mode, you get a sudden voltage drop, either because of a bad contact on the power cable. Another one, as you suggested, might be RF. Another one might be RF in conjunction with other cables and such. There's some opportunities to think things through. But the other thing is the load on the power supply could be such that the power supply itself is sagging and saying sayonara, and then the radio says sayonara, and then, you know, the power supply recovers and you don't really notice it. In the meantime, the radio is turned off.
Okay, K2BAR and N2DI, if I can respond. The temperature here, ambient temperature here in the shack, is approximately the same as it was the other day, with the exception, I think it was a little bit more humid in here. And my first order of troubleshooting was to check all the connections. So I checked all the connections, everything was tight. I went to the power pole connection in the back of the radio, again, pushed it in, it was firm, it was tight, wriggled it, pushed it back in, it was tight. The two feeds that go into the back and are screwed in, I reapplied some tension to the screws, being careful not to strip them, and that was taken care of as well. So I just don't know. I mean, I went to that level of basics because I really can't go much further than that. And I hope that fills in a little bit more for you, Gordon. K2BAR, this is N2DI.
Well, they got a temperature, but okay. I'm glad you're not suffering from a temperature problem. That would be annoying. It would be really annoying. So, I don't know what to tell you, Tom, but right now it's not happening. And a radio that was on receive went to transmit, and every time you went to transmit, it fell on its ass. To me, it's power-related. I mean, it could be RF-related, you know, but I'm thinking, you know, the key point is that you sucked power and you may have put out RF. So one of those two factors is at play here, either in the power leads, the power supply, or RF cycling back into the system. You know, and what's even worse is it's not happening anymore and you're at full power again, right?
Yes, roger, roger. I'm pumping 50 watts, so that's the maximum this radio will allow me to broadcast on 2 meter. At least on 2 meter FM. Oh, what I can do, if there's a power sig, now if it happens again, what I'm going to do is I have one of those big gel batteries. I have the long one compared to your kind of tall rectangular one. I think they're about the same amount of amperage. And what I'll do is I'll then begin the experiment again and use that as a power supply and see how that handles it for QSO as long as I am having one now in terms of time duration. So I guess this will play out as it's going to play out. I don't know, but thank you for the insights, Gordon. I appreciate it. Let me hand it back to you just in case something else has come to mind. Otherwise, you know, get the rotation should start. K2BAR, this is N2DI.
Okay, I've also looked up, I haven't seen any RF-related issues with the 991 or 991A. So, but I've seen that condition happen both due to RF and power, mostly power. So, you know, it's certainly something to give due consideration to. So, we'll see. We'll see. Anybody else have any thoughts? Alrighty. Well, then, I guess we'll just call it square there and sort it out from there. I want to mention, I guess that's about it. An interesting concept to have this kind of frustration, and especially when it's repeatable for the longest time and then it stops. You're not sure when it's going to show up again. Anyway, anybody else?
W2JEK.
Mr. Don.
Yeah, my wife has a Grundig radio that she uses in the bedroom. It's a AM, FM, shortwave thing, and it's got a phase lock bulb, so that you walk away from the radio, the FM station doesn't change like some of the lesser models. And I was complaining that she turned it on and you know, for a minute and shut off. Well, found out that the radio, we were using it with a 4 watt to power it. And Apparently the Wobot just disconnected, but the batteries in there also has batteries. And apparently what happened, we didn't realize it at first, but the batteries apparently are dead, and they'd be on long enough to be on for a few seconds and then shut off. And once we realized that, we put the Wobot back and everything was okay. So no, that's not the kind of radio that has a battery in it, though. But that's a thought on that part too. It was again a power problem, but the internal power was used up, so to speak. The batteries were kaput, and that's why we had that problem. Back to that, W2JEK.
Sure, it is. If the internal batteries are you know, nominally okay for a while, and the Walwart is capable of charging it but not sustaining the radio, as the batteries degrade, what will happen is you turn the radio on, it'll sustain the radio for a brief period of time. The Walwart won't be capable of sustaining it, you know, on a continuous basis. The batteries won't either, and that's when you get the condition you got. So, yeah, makes perfect sense. Absolutely. Anybody else have any power supply battery type or RF horror stories of radios going intermittent? Alrighty. Anything else, Tom?
No, I'm not going. Thank you. W2JK.
Thank you, Don. Anything more, Tom?
Negative, Gordon. I recollect having problems with my ICOM when I had it in the phone of the 5100. I was using the battery that I was just discussing with you, or describing to you. And what was really good about the ICOM is whenever it would hit the floor of 12 volts, which was the absolute nominal that radio was going to work at, it would shut off. So the first couple of times I didn't realize that because I had intentionally wanted to run it down. And it was my first experience, and I let it happen a number of times to make sure that's exactly what was happening. So as soon as it would hit the threshold of 12 volts, bam, down it went. So don't let that happen anymore. And I am aware of the consequences of bad power supply. So, you know, I'll be watching this one. Typically, I leave my stuff on just to not keep throwing it on and off and let it drop. And but these I definitely do shut off. I shut off both the Yazoo and of course in order, then the power supply. And when I power up, I do exactly the opposite. So that's it, Gordon. Thank you for the input, K2BAR, this is N2DI.
All right, very good, Tom. Thank you very much. All righty, anybody else have any other additional topics for the net tonight? Any late check-ins? All righty then, call it square. Thank you again, we'll see you tomorrow at Fairlawn, or maybe Sunday at Barra. Don't forget that business meeting for Fairlawn is tomorrow. And I did leave off something. A week from tomorrow, I will be doing a talk on the New York City Marathon's mesh network and what we deployed, why we deployed it, and how you can get involved in mesh networking, and what other things you can do with it day to day. It might be fun. So that'll be a week from tomorrow. So. To keep that in mind. And also, on Sunday, this Sunday, is show and tell night. So bring in your cool stuff. Even if it's small, just, you know, be prepared to talk about it for about a minute or two or three and answer questions. Should be fun. Alrighty, on that note, I wish everyone a fine evening. And the Rangers are up over Ottawa 3-0. They will, if they win tonight, tie the series 2-2. Being a loyal Devils fan, my answer is it goes ends. Anyway, on that note, we'll wish you all a fine evening. We'll see you tomorrow or Sunday. This is K2BAR W2TTD over Clear 73.
NJ2BS, repeat. NJ2BS, repeat. NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. 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 NJ2BS repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS repeat. NJ2BS repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. 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 NJ2BS repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. 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 NJ2BS repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. 4.